Good afternoon. Welcome to another Saturday of Woods and Water, South Carolina, 94.5 WGTK. My name is Roger Metz, and we'll be talking about a busy week in the outdoors. And it was hot. I know it was hot up here, too. If you Google the first day of summer, you'll come up with June 21st, which is the summer solstice. But I tell you, we've already hit some 90-degree weather this past week, and I think it's going to be a hot summer. Planted my garden before we went out of town and came back, and everything was laying over on its side. No rain and 90 degrees. Some of it's come back. Some of it, I think, is goners. But, you know, we can just replant. I've got news, trips, but I'd love to hear from you. Have you been fishing? Did you go hiking? Hopefully you've got some plans to do that today, tomorrow, Monday, since it's a three-day weekend. Or did you take the boat out? A couple of my friends are guides, and they were talking about how much boat traffic was out there already today. Maybe you're getting your boat out. Call me. The number's 235-9405 or 877-235-9405, and tell me what you've done or where you've been or what you've done. A friend of mine told me his son was out jet skiing on Lake Murray last weekend. It seems a bit cold for me, but then again, I'm not 17. Like I said, it was a busy week. I've still got a short trip report from the Chattooga River a couple of weeks ago. Things worked out this week for my family to take a really quick road trip. On the way, we hit Lansford Canal State Park and beyond. And if you looked at the Facebook page and saw the picture, I got a little off-topic segment we're going to do later on, something that I used to do quite a bit in the mid to late 90s. When I was younger, unattached, and all I had to do was put in gas at, what, $1 a gallon. And it brought back a lot of memories. This time, I got to do it again, except I had the whole family with me, and I think they enjoyed it, except for two members of the family who did not enjoy the 63-foot climb up the metal stairway to the top of a 1950s air control tower. They did it, and they got back down again, which was good. The last time I had my wife off the ground, it was 10 feet, and she froze. Since then, I try to keep her feet on the ground. But I've been a runway junkie all my life. You saw the picture. You know it was a lot better than standing on the end of any runway. And we'll get to that a little bit later on. Reminder for what's going on calendar events-wise, we have a loft going on today, tomorrow, Monday. Try to get out there. They've got a lot of things going on. The balloons, in my experience when I was working out there, the flights are always better in the morning. So, you know, hey, get up in the morning, go somewhere where you can see the balloons. It'll be early, but, you know, it's cooler. I think it's going to be a cooler end of the weekend. Get out and enjoy that. That's happening right here in Greenville. This weekend, courtesy of Department of Natural Resources, you got boat inspections, and they're happening all across the state from the upstate lakes, Midlands, all the way down the coast. It's just an effort to say, look, here's what you have to have as far as safety equipment. And they're also putting themselves out there. Look, if you're going to cut up in a boat, we're out here and we're watching. But the purpose of these safety inspections is just to make sure that you've got what you're supposed to have on your boat. And the nice thing about this weekend is it's free. You get an inspection. They say, oh, your flares are out of date, or you need to have a whistle on board. But we're not going to give you a ticket. Just fix them before you get out on the water. If they catch you out on the water after today or this weekend, well, you're going to get a little ticket for it. But these are good. They're happening. Most of the ones for today are already over. Tomorrow, they're going to have some at the Wapukut Landing down in Charleston, Lake Hartwell, River Forks Boat Ramp, Lake Watery, Lake Wiley. Monday will be Lake Greenwood at the State Park, Lake Kiwi at Gap Hill, Lake Murray at Billy Drear Island, and at the dam, and then Lake Thurman at Dorn Landing. So, you know, hey, pull up, let them look your boat over, make sure you got everything right, thank them for the job they're doing, and enjoy a weekend out on the water. It's Memorial Day. This is the kickoff to summer. If you're a boater, if you're just a boater, if you're a fisherman, it goes on year round. But if you're a boater, jet skier, or whatever, this is it for you. But be careful out there. Lots of people out on the water. Summer recreation programs. Now, there's a couple of these. This one's at Kings Mountain State Park, and they happen all through the summer. And it's a combination of, you know, ranger-led walks, card, board games, canoeing, fishing, sports, crafts, you need to check the website. This one's at Kings Mountain State Park, happening for the rest of the summer. I'll bring this up a couple times more. Most of the hours are for a couple hours in the afternoon, 3 to 5 or 10 to 3 in the morning. And I guess on those long days is when you're going to be doing more things. Good thing for you to do, Kings Mountain State Park, just down the street, just up 85. Marsh Mania, Edisto Beach State Park. A lot of people are going to be headed down to the beaches and all. This is one, come prepared to get muddy, and closed-toed shoes are a must. You know, get out there in the salt marsh, find out what's, and this again is an all summer long. The first one is it's actually today, the 23rd, but June 5th, 13th, 19th, and 27th. It sounds like they're having them every week at Edisto Beach State Park. And again, at Edisto Beach State Park, on the day before, June 6th, 12th, 20th, that sort of thing, is sensational fun. Have you ever wondered what is swimming with you in the surf zone? Now, that's a loaded question because some people don't want to know what's out there, or some people are shocked when they do see what's out there. But it's a really informative thing. We had some jelly balls around this past Wednesday when we were out at the beach. And they're just jelly balls, but nevertheless, you kind of just leave them alone and that sort of thing. But just, it's an educational thing just to know what's out there and just what to be aware of. National Trails Day hike to Lower Mill Creek Falls. This is happening at Table Rock State Park on June the 7th. Need to register by June the 5th. There is a little $10 fee associated. But it's, you're going to hike from the state park down to Lower Mill Creek Falls. This is a 5.5 mile round trip hike. Make sure you have good shoes and make sure you're in a little better shape than I am to do this. I'm not quite there yet, I don't think. Although I probably could do it if I had to. Another National Trails Day celebration is going to be held out at Croft State Park over in Spartanburg. Join the Palmetto Conservation Foundation at Croft State Park to celebrate National Trails Day on the Palmetto Trail. Family activities, guided hikes, mountain biking, kayaking, camping overnight, a nighttime hike, and campfire with s'mores. That's sure to bring out a lot of people who can't resist graham crackers, marshmallows, and Hershey's chocolate. The event is free and includes all the activities, a campsite, and meals, but you have to register for the whole weekend. That's happening June 7th and June 8th. You got to register by June the 2nd. And this is a reminder from an earlier one. South Carolina Wildlife Federation photo contest. If you didn't hear this a few weeks ago, I guess now, it's open for 2014. There are three categories, and I tell you, the more I get around and do things, the more I think I'm going to submit a couple of pictures. I may be in for a rude awakening at how lousy my photography is, but three categories, Carolina critters, you know, birds, deer, turkeys, alligators, blue herons, whatever, Carolina critters out category, scenes of South Carolina. I know my kids got me up at 5:30 the other morning because they wanted to see the sunrise. I told them this is why I like going to the west coast of wherever I'm going, so I can watch the sun set. But anyway, we got up early, went to the beach, beautiful sunrise. You got the sun coming up, and you got reflection on the wet sand and all. It was a beautiful morning. But scenes from South Carolina, sunrise on the ocean or sunset in the mountains. Kids in nature. You know, all our kids are adorable. They're just great, and mine's better than yours, that sort of thing. But, you know, kids playing outdoors, exploring nature, hiking, camping, hunting, the whole thing, including just getting dirty, 18 years and under. Requirements, you can enter 2 photographs for each category per person. There are some stipulations to how much digital alterations you can have on those. Check the website. And Carolina Outdoor Cooking is proud to present Backyard Cooking 101. Need a Father's Day gift? Here it is. It's happening June 21st from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The project hosts Soup Kitchen in Greenville. It is a $175 fee, includes lunch, but they're going to teach you how to smoke ribs, baby back ribs, barbecue chicken, cedar plank salmon, seasonal veg, desserts on the grill. Now that one, honey, if you're listening, that's one for me. Anyway, there's the music. Join us back on the other side of the break. Let me stray to you. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. As always, I'll be adding the calendar of events on the Facebook page, along with all the other weekly events and pictures from trips I talk about here on the radio. You can find that by searching Woods and Water SC or typing in www.facebook.com/WoodsandWaterSC. It seems the search function on Facebook is getting a little better, so I'm a little easier to find. So log on, check out the posts and pictures, give the show a like. You can also email me at scwoodsandwater@gmail.com with pictures, comments, or events. If you'd like for me to put on the calendar events, I would love to put them up there for you. Plaza Coins and Knives. Are you to the point now where you need a gun safe? I know my brother-in-law has been looking at small ones and all, but Champion safes are some of the best ones out there, and Judd Martin has done his research. They also have metal detectors. Beach season is here. I have heard, I've never seen anybody pick up anything expensive or anything, but I've seen a lot of people digging in the sand at the beach over the years. That's something you want to try, along with knives by Case, Boker, Sog, and high-end ones like Chris Reeve knives, really nice things, along with hiking, survival foods, and coins, silver, gold, collector coins, U.S. Mint offerings. They're right over here on 119 Points at Highway. Go see Judd and Kimberly or call them at 864-235-8557. And as always with a sponsor, tell them you heard about them here on Woods and Water, South Carolina. As I said in the first segment, we took a family road trip. It was a really short, really compact one. But I tell you, as the kids get older, it just seems like the time for everybody to get their schedule together is just not there anymore. So we took off and went, and we're all recovering, some of us more than others. But I thought, since it was a family thing, you might like to hear from somebody other than me. I know I get tired of listening to my voice sometimes, and so today I have a very special guest host in the studio with me, and that is my youngest daughter, Taylor.
Hi, everybody.
She's 10, and she is my shadow. I know in previous ones I've talked about Taylor and her talking and that sort of thing. She has a certain number of words she has to speak from the time she gets up to the time she goes to bed, and we love her for it. But she is my shadow when I go do things outdoors. And my other daughter, Jordan, was that way too. And we've had a lot of good times together. And both of them are real veterans. Saltwater fishing, freshwater fishing, hiking, camping, dove hunting, duck hunting, deer hunting, boating. They both like my boat. Taylor especially likes to go fast. But Taylor, let me ask you a question. What is the best thing that you've done outdoors so far?
I think fishing with you and fishing in freshwater and saltwater is my favorite.
Is your favorite. See, it's already starting to happen. There was no mention of getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go sit in the deer stand or anything. It was fishing, because now we can sleep in a little bit, and especially with saltwater, it's tidals and that sort of thing. So anyway, it's great. I enjoy having her with me. And what did we do this week? We went to
The Lansford Canal State Park.
That's right, and that's over in Catawba, South Carolina, which is southeast of Rock Hill, northeast of Lancaster. If you Google or MapQuest it, it's almost exactly 2 hours from Greenville. And the big attraction at Lansford Canal State Park is
the Rocky Spider Lilies.
The Spider Lilies, that's right. And right here in South Carolina is the largest population of Rocky Shoal Spider Lilies in the world. There are a few, and I was under the impression that this was it, but I talked to Al, who is the park manager there, and he said there are some smaller colonies across lower parts of South Carolina, Georgia, and Alabama, but most of them are on private land, so you cannot get to them. There are a few at Riverbank Zoo and under the Gervais Street Bridge in Columbia. Did we see some spider lilies?
We did, just a little bit.
Just a few, yeah. They weren't blooming as much as we had hoped, but there were blooms out there. There were not many very close to us. Seems like most of the blooms were a little distance away from us, but with binoculars and a good zoom lens, it did come across pretty good. Lansford Canal State Park is over on the Catawba River. It is a South Carolina state park, and the whole reason was Lansford Canal. Now, the Catawba River is on a fall line right through there, which means it is very rocky and shoaly, and you could not get boats in the 1800s, 1820s, You cannot get boats loaded with, what were they loaded with?
They were loaded with cotton bales.
Cotton bales. You couldn't get upstate South Carolina cotton. When I say upstate, I mean, you know, Rock Hill up that way. Cotton bales to Charleston to go to Europe because of the rocks and shoals on the Catawba River. And back in those days before the railroads, the rivers were the modes of transportation. So what they did was they went in there and they put in a rock dam, and part of that rock dam is still across the river today. And then they put up the canal. And the canal allowed barges, and I heard a little bit that these barges had a draft of like 18 inches or so, and they were a certain size, and they could fit 5 bales of cotton on each barge. And those canal and locks and all are still there. In fact, we walked 2 trails, and one of them was
the nature trail.
And that followed the river. Now, what are some of the things you saw along the nature trail?
Well, we saw snakes and turtles sunning themselves and lizards climbing on trees.
That's right. Taylor is my little, she doesn't miss much. The other night we were standing out in the backyard and it was dusk and we were talking, and all of a sudden Taylor goes, "Daddy, there's an owl just laying in the tree over there." And I looked and I said, "No, I don't see any owl in the tree anywhere." She said, "But it's there, Daddy." So it took a pair of binoculars for me to find it. So she doesn't miss much. And of course, one of the first things she saw was a snake. And my wife said, "Okay, that's enough. Don't look for any more snakes." But snakes and the turtles sunning, the lizards. And you also
saw a couple of fish.
That's right. She said, "Daddy, why didn't we bring the fishing rods?" Well, this was a family trip. This was not a fishing trip. So I can't believe I went to the water several times and did not have a fishing rod. But I did. I'm probably a better man for it. Some of the things we smelled while we were down there.
Well, it was the mud, and we came across some honeysuckles, and they smelled, oh my goodness, so sweet.
When you pass honeysuckle, it's like, ah, heaven. Now, we didn't eat any. When I was growing up, we'd have dove in and just eaten whatever, and the little drop of honey when you pull out the stem or whatever was good. But we didn't do that, and there were some plants along the, now these were good trails. They were like crushed rock trails and very well defined and all that. But off to either side,
there was poison oak or poison ivy
everywhere. So if you go, and I have noticed this everywhere we've been. When we went up to Ashmore, there was some there. When I was at the Chattooga River a couple of weeks ago, lots and lots of poison oak and poison ivy. So when they say stay on the trail, there's a reason for it. Besides getting lost, it's to avoid coming down with poison oak, poison ivy. We walked 2 trails, the nature trail along the river to the observation deck. That's about 3/4 mile or so. And the observation deck overlooks approximately 20 acres of spider lilies. And that's where everybody goes to see them and all. And then we walked the canal trail back to the park. The canal trail actually goes through the old canal. So when you're walking down, and above you are the dikes that held the water in. Which was kind of cool, but it didn't smell very good, did it?
It did not.
Lots of standing water. I'm sure early and late that was a mosquito haven, and my girls just get eaten up. I'm not sweet at all, I guess, because they don't bother me. Tell me some of the things we could do at Lansford Canal State Park, Taylor.
Well, they had really nice picnic areas, and they had grills, and you could take your canoes or whatever into the water and just kind of canoe around and everything.
They had a little playground for little small kids there. The canoes, there is a limit. They need to be 13 feet or shorter to put in there at the park. You can put in at the park, go downstream to all the, where the spider lilies are, and they're class 1 and 2 rapids scattered throughout there. Lots of standing rock, boulders, and that sort of thing down. So be careful when you go. But you can put in right there at the main park and go down and come back up. Or there is a southern entrance to the park. So if you wanted to park 2 vehicles and put in at the upper and go down the river and take out the lower entrance, that's something you could do too. And they're right there at the same general area. Mentioned fishing. Largemouth and white bass. Black crappie, brim, catfish, carp, and gars. And again, they had picnic tables and grills scattered up and down the river right there around the ranger station and all, playground. It's 448 acres altogether. The locks, the mill, And the lot keepers in are all original. They are, of course, they've been a little kept up and that sort of thing, but they're all original buildings. The locks were really cool because in the top of the locks, you could still see the places they carved out where the door swung open and all. You remember that?
Yes, it is.
Would you go back?
I would, yes.
You would? It's one of those things when we're at the farm in Chester, we ought to probably get a picnic lunch, go over there, do some fishing. I actually saw a YouTube video where guys were walking out through there, so evidently it's not that deep amongst the rocks and all, so maybe we don't have to have, we could take the canoe or whatever, but I've turned that canoe over a couple of times and somehow I've just lost faith in the canoe. One of the other things I wanted to talk about in connection with the state parks is we, going in, of course, you have to stop at the little toll booth, and it's very reasonable if you're just going to one. It's $5 per adult, $3 per kid, so $16 for us, but I had done a little research on the park pass. And I wanted to give this a plug because we did two parks this week. We did Lansford Canal and we did Huntington Beach, and which would have cost about $32. And for $75, I got a park passport, which allows me to go into all 47 state parks. It cost me $75, and it's good for 1 year. And these parks are all over, and they're nice. I mean, it's not something you have to go and spend days and days at, although you can because a lot of them have campgrounds and all. But there again with the picnic tables and the playgrounds and there at the river. And when I talked to the Department of Natural Resources, I think 46 of the 47 state parks have some type of water in it. So there's always fishing to do. And that's why I can't believe I didn't take a fishing rod, because Lansford Canal is just right for a ultralight fishing reel and beetle spins. That's all you would have needed, right?
Right.
A beetle spin with all those bass and brim in there would have been just fine. They also have, if you don't want to pay $75, they have an inland park, which is good for 42 of the 47 state parks. It does not apply to the coastal ones. And if you're over 65, a senior citizen, blind, or disabled resident of South Carolina, you can get a Palmetto passport, which is $37.50, allows you the same entrance to all 47 state parks. You can buy those. I bought mine there, and that's when I talked to Al. Very nice guy, very knowledgeable about what his park had to offer. But you can also get these online. If you just want to get it online, you can do that. Hang it on your winch and your mirror, and you're good to go. There's the music. We'll talk about our off-topic when we come back. And welcome back to Woods and Water SC on 94.5 WGTK. Remember, you can listen in on your FM dial or the summer while you're on vacation. You can get the free app or you can go online to tunein.com and pick up the station there. Like I said before, I'm a runway junkie from years and years ago. I guess my dad having an airplane, and when we were growing up, one of the squadrons at Shaw Air Force Base and in Sumter was a reconnaissance squadron. And growing up, I can remember those jets coming across the farm. And, you know, they were, even back then, they were kind of gone before you heard them type thing. And it's just in my blood, just like saltwater fishing is. And that only got worse as I got into high school, and you had Shaw Fest going on every year. Now it's every other year. In some years it's postponed because of deployments and that sort of thing. And and right after high school, I had a buddy who went in the Air Force, and he was stationed at Shaw. So I spent a lot of time down at Shaw Air Force Base, and I discovered Poinsett Electronic Combat Range. And if you saw the picture, F-16 coming through, smoke coming off the gun port, and it's just one of those things that if you've never done, you need to go do it. This is off topic for Woods and Water SC, but this is something that's just really cool. And I got to share this with my family, and I wanted you, I mean, you can't help when you see a jet fighter coming through. You can't help but the blood starts and, you know, you start tingling and the noise and all. It's just great. So anyway, on our way from Lansford Canal down to the beach, we stopped in. Of course, we dropped down from Lancaster to Camden, got off on 261 there at Boykin and on into eastern part of Sumter, which is where Shaw is. And I had to convince the family to let me take a 2-mile detour so I could sit off the end of the runway for a few minutes. we sat there for, and you can't park right off the runway anymore. There's lots of signs up, but you can go right out there before you get to the Kentucky Fried Chicken and you can pull off the side of the road. And I had my binoculars out looking, seeing if I could see any planes moving. Of course, there's nothing going on. I was really disappointed. And as I was panning back across the runway, out of nowhere, there's an F-16 that's just smoking down the runway. And it caught us all by surprise. We're like, oh, there's a jet. And he had his gear down, looked like he was going to land, and he was close. He was on the western runway. And boy, he tucked those gear up, hit the burner, trimmed the airplane, and down the runway he went, didn't he?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there's like, they're just coming from everywhere. What would you say? There's five or six more that showed up?
Probably.
And one of the cool things, there was a pair of them that came over and they did their break for landing right over top of us, which was cool. So I got to see that and it just kind of rekindled what I'd done when I was a kid. And so we sat there for a few minutes, with the air conditioner running and the windows down because it was hot down there. We got there and sat there for a few minutes and I said, okay, we got to get on down the road. It's already taken us 7 hours to get to here. That's what happens when you go traveling with me. I'm a back road person. It takes a lot longer, but you put up with me. Thank you. But you see lots of interesting things along the way, right?
Yes.
A lot more things than you would see going down the interstate.
Oh yeah.
So got back on 261 and headed south, and 261 runs right by the entrance to Poinsett Combat Range. And what was happening as we drove by?
They were coming in and shooting their machine guns.
You can't see them from the road, but of course, as they come in and again, as they pull out, you could see them. And it was just, had the windows down and man, it just lit us up, didn't it?
It did, yes.
So I had to Google them. I pulled off the side of the road. Yes, I pulled off the side of the road before I Googled them. I found the telephone number and I called them in, and Lamon O'Neill picked up the phone, assured me they were still there and still open to the public. So if you want to go see that, you can go. Now, we didn't have time. I said, look, we're coming back through. I'll call you just to see if anything's going on. He said, that'd be fine. So, but you need to call for two reasons. And I'm going to let Taylor tell you why you need to call. And the first reason
is to make sure that there's something coming in.
That's right. You don't want to drive down to Sumter and get there and they say, oh, there's nothing on the schedule. Because it was like Joe said, he said, sometimes they'll sit there for a week or two and nothing happening. But at other times, they're just busy. So that's the first reason. You want to make sure there's something going on. The second reason, when you get there and turn on the Range Road, you want to call because? Because
there's a red and green light. And if the red's there, you can't go in because they're coming down and shooting the targets. But if it's green, go ahead. But if it's no, just pretend it's a red.
That's right. Joe said, look, he said, there's red and green. The red means stop. The green means go. Of course, I knew all this from being down there below, but he was having fun with the kids. And he said, if you don't see any lights, you don't see the red or green, he said, assume it's red. He said, and on a live fire range, you never want to assume something's green. So we got there. I called him. He said, yeah, we got lots going on this morning. We got there. And as we got the green light to go across, because you do cross the strafing range before you get to the control tower and the buildings and all that. And as we parked and got out, Joe came out, a gentleman came up, I didn't know his name at the time, he said, y'all just come on up. Now, they do have a stadium, like a bleacher set up out there for you to watch from. Now, it was 92 degrees when we got there, and I was ready to sit out there. That's just me, but I knew the rest of them would be in the car. Taylor may be with me, but anyway, we got to go up into the tower, which is really cool because you're there. What were they doing a lot of times in the tower?
They were coming through and shooting their machine guns and everything.
Well, what were they talking about in the tower, though? You had Joe and Lamont, and they were talking to the pilots. They were talking to y'all.
Mm-hmm.
They were explaining to y'all the things about Poinsett Weapons Range. And let's go over a little bit. Poinsett is actually 12,500 acres. Now, they only use a little over 400 of that for the range. The other part is actually a Carolina Bay. And if you know anything about a Carolina Bay in summertime, it's pretty rough in there. And they were telling us that the night before, they had helicopters and soldiers doing night exercises. And he said it was pretty funny, he said, because they had to give up. The soldiers were trying to navigate the Carolina Bay. It was so thick and nasty, and the Carolina Bay is boggy, too. It's like Pluff Mud on the coast, except you don't smell it until it sucks you in, and then you smell it. And they had to give up. He said it was a good thing, too. He said, because we got lots of alligators back in there. And I'm sure the noise of the helicopters and that sort of thing kind of, you know, pushed the alligators back where they weren't out. But it's 12,500 acres. It was in operation since 1952. That's the 63-foot climb up to the top of the tower. It services F-16s, F-15s, 18 Hornets from all around the South. Primarily, they do have airplanes that pass through and will do their exercises. They have, what do they have? They have a bombing range, and we didn't get to see them drop any bombs, but they were doing...
They were coming through, but they didn't have any bombs in on the aircraft.
On the airplane. And he was telling us they practice with 25-pound bombs, but they're designed to have the same flight characteristics as a 500-pound bomb. So they just use a, and he said, and there's hundreds and thousands of them down there. He said, we don't pick them all up because a lot of them sink in. They have this range here, and 2 miles south, they have an additional range where they drop a lot of the heavier ordnance. And he said, you know, there's just big craters down there. We take our tractors and all and cover it up and keep moving. But it is a great little place to go for a family. It's, the bombing is scored by computers, triangulation, using television cameras, which are located on the four towers around the bombing range. The strafing is actually done by microphone. And there are microphones around the targets that pick up the sound of the bullets going by. And instantaneously, the guys, the air traffic controllers, that information goes to the squadrons themselves, and they can know instantaneously how they did so they can adjust on their next pass. And a lot of these guys were making multiple passes, weren't they, Taylor?
They were, yes.
Okay, give me the scenario for when they were coming in for do a strafing run. Give me what they had to do.
They had to kind of make a couple of runs around it,
right,
to get their level with the target.
And get their orientation and know what their sight picture is and that sort of thing. Now, when they made that last revolution, what did they get to do?
They got to load it.
Turn the guns on. Got to go live with the guns on that last round. And what's your opinion of what a M61 20mm cannon is going off sounds like?
It sounds like a zipper in front of a bullhorn.
It does. It really, it's a bzzz. And, back when I was going down in the late 80s and early 90s, they had A-10s at Shaw Air Force Base. So they were shooting the 30mm cannons down there, and it was like a zipper on steroids. And the smoke coming off the airplanes, both from them shooting and from the afterburners they turned off, was really cool.
Yes, it was.
It was very cool. And although, you know, my wife stayed inside in the air conditioning, the guys there, we spent 2 hours at least with them, sometimes in the control tower. I was more on the catwalk around the control tower. And they talked. They were telling us about where they'd been stationed. You could hear the communications going on with the jet pilots and them. And they're a traffic controller, so they could take control of the airspace around there. But he said they used to have buses of people come through. It was on the Sumter Tourism. He said, but lately nobody comes. And there's a wealth of information there, plus all the fun you get to do. And they've got aircraft out there, and they've got the targets and all that. They've got a whole lot more. We'll cover a little bit more of this on the other side, and I'll give you the number you can call to set up your own visit. See you on the other side. Welcome back to Woods and Water. We're talking about Poinsett Electronic Combat Range. And I want you to hear from it from Taylor's perspective. Did you have a good time? Tell me about some of the jets, some of the things y'all talked about, and what your impression was.
Well, they talked about a lot of things, but they mostly talked about how they communicate with each other with the microphones inside the helmet of the pilot. And they talked about how much the bombs weigh and how to load the machine gun. And they were talking about how many jets they have come through and shot at the targets and everything.
And those guys were career military, weren't they?
They were, yes.
So where all had they been stationed?
They had been in Portugal, they had been in Germany, and lots of other places.
Italy and the Philippines. And one of them said he'd like to go back to the Philippines because the cost of living was so cheap, but Lamont said he would rather stay stateside.
Oh, yes.
They both have daughters, which was nice because we got to talk about our daughters together and all. And what did Joe say you need to do, Jordan? Taylor?
I need to be a air traffic controller.
That's right, because there's going to be a big shortage of air traffic controllers coming up. Did you have a good time there too?
I did, yes.
And when she says the jets were coming through in the zipper, you got to understand these jets, you're already 63 feet up, and I took MapQuest and measured out to the strafing ranges and all. When they come through on a bombing range, they're about 400 yards away. They come through on a strafing range, a strafing run, the closest lane is about 170 yards from the control tower. So you're 175 yards from an F-16 going 400, 500 miles an hour, with his rotary cannon going on. It's a machine gun. It's a rotary cannon, to be correct. And by the time he pulls out, you are practically on eye level with him. And it's incredible.
They come through.
And they reefed that thing up. Did you know, what were the white streaks coming off the wings? You remember what I told you those were?
It was the exhaust.
Well, no, the exhaust was brown as they went to afterburner. But the condensation, the white is the atmospheric pressure condensed around the wings and all that. You'd have just a great time. If you want to go, the number for Poinsett is 1-803-895-2597. If you're going this summer, be prepared to sit on the bleachers in the heat, take an umbrella and all that stuff. But you might get to go up in the tower. If it's a slow day, there's not many people around, take you up in the tower. I mean, they spent 2 hours with us. Joe and Lamont are just two of the crew. They have a rotation set up. You know, what a great, if you're a red-blooded American and jets and guns. Now, some of them were good. Some of you look over the targets and the dust, the target would be obscured with the dust, but there was one guy.
Who kept shooting into the woods.
That's right. He was long on his delivery, wasn't he?
He was, yes.
And all the dust was back in the woods behind the targets. One last thing I forgot to ask you about. Tell me the significance of the rows of tires.
Well, the first row of tires was like to say, go ahead and start firing.
Right.
And then a couple yards away was another row of tires, and that meant to stop firing.
That's right. When they come in, those first couple of rounds they make, acquiring their line of sight, the background for pullout and that sort of thing, there are two rows of tires painted white, and they're probably 300 yards apart. And they're, like I said, they're on both sides of the road you drive in, which is why you want to make sure you have a green light. But they have to, and in just this couple of seconds it takes them to transition that short distance, 400 or 500 rounds. It's just, I'm sorry, I'm a kid at heart still, but I think everybody enjoyed it. And even if your kid's wife don't seem to enjoy that sort of thing, something like this, I'm sure they would. So give them a call, find out what the schedule is. You know, there's only one way to Myrtle Beach still. I don't do 26 and 20. You know, you go down the back way to Sumter, you get on 378 and go, and you're only 6 miles from Poinsett. So think about it when you're going to the beach this summer, going or coming during the weekdays. It's just a great family thing to do. Last segment, we got some news to cover. The shrimp season is underway in South Carolina. Officially, it'll get underway in state waters the 22nd. We stopped in McClellanville on the way back and picked up 50 pounds of head-on shrimp for a low country boil we have going on Monday. And you didn't help me head any shrimp, did you?
I didn't, but I held the bag for you.
That's right. You held the bag for me. I headed about 40 pounds of shrimp late night, and Taylor helped me. But they were big. They were 16 20s, you know, that's 16 or 20 per pound, so nice shrimp. They came from down along federal waters at the Georgia line. This article is about Rocky Magwood, will set off in Winds of Fortune. Now, it's been tough for the Shem Creek fishing fleet. Rocky's boat sank at the dock at Shem Creek this summer, the Lady Eva, and they got her up, but she sank while they were towing her to Georgia. So he is actually captaining another boat this year. He's been doing it since he was 13. This article is about him. He said he doesn't know what else to do. The ocean, he said, that's what I'm doing. I'm dedicated to shrimping. I can't imagine doing anything else. I can't imagine not one Magwood owning a shrimp boat. And if you've ever been to Shem Creek, there in Charleston, Mount Pleasant, Magwoods is their only thing. You can buy the shrimp directly from Magwoods. The season will open the 22nd, so it'll be a few days or so. The late cold snap has slowed the crop. DNR is monitoring to see exactly when they'll open the state waters. You can get fresh shrimp at Magwoods there in the old village in Mount Pleasant. Or if you want to take a drive up to McClellanville and see, which is a pretty cool town.
It was, yes.
All the Spanish malls, the old houses. Of course, Main Street, if you blink, you're going to miss Main Street. It's very short.
It was.
I mean, the seafood docks were longer than Main Street, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
But you got Carolina Seafood and Livingston's head on. You have to head them, but hey, it's good, fresh South Carolina shrimp. They were $5.50 a pound. Normally, by the end of the fall and all, they'll be around $3.54. So if you want good, fresh shrimp, now's your time. I know I was decrying the end of oyster season last week, but we got something else to look forward to. In the news, alligator farming legalized in South Carolina. Now, it's been legal for years in Louisiana, Georgia, that sort of thing. In fact, I was on an airplane years ago with a guy from the poultry industry sitting next to him. I can't remember where I was coming back from, and he was talking about the marriage of the poultry industry and alligator farming, that they just went together because you may have a lose chickens or whatever, and any chicken farmer loses chickens on a weekly basis, and you have a ready-made disposal unit in the alligator, and then you can sell the alligator skin and meat and that sort of thing. But it's been signed into law in South Carolina. Now, it was all because of this one couple who wanted to have alligators in Allendale, and there was no law in the books to legalize it, so they went to Brad Hutto, and he asked DNR to come up with a recommendation, and we have the Captive Alligator Propagation Act of 2014. Now, there's some, you know, it's going to be years. He said nobody would get a permit in 2014. This is DNR talking. You know, there's permitting to be done. There's regulations to be set. Anytime anything that ramps up, you've got DHEC involved, DNR involved. But there again with the chicken farmers, and now you've got all the deer processors who now don't have to dispose of all that waste. They can set up an arrangement with alligators. So it is a beneficial economic activity for a lot of people, and alligator meat, if you ask me, tastes like chicken. If you want to wait a few years, you can get your own alligator meat, or you know, alligator season application is open, you can get it the hard way, like I didn't do last year. But, hey, I gave it a try. Quality Deer Management Association, several stories in the news about them. Off the Outdoor Wire, record membership, 55,000 members and growing, which is great. I remember when in the late 80s and 90s when we were meeting up at the Western Sizzlin, I think Grant Woods was still a student at Clemson, but QDMA, if you're interested in Quality Deer Management Association, have a Rack Pack Youth Program. Membership is an all-time high. They have the Deer Steward Education Program. They have they're also going to have their convention is in Athens, Georgia, July 24th through the 27th, and they're going to have the Hunter Games Outdoorsman's Challenge. So for any of you outdoorsmen, they're going to have a ground blind challenge. You got to assemble it, get in it, and shoot a target. It's a timed event. A fishing challenge is involved catching fish and fish ID. Deer challenge, scoring age and points on the antlers, tree stand challenge, marksmanship challenge, hunting challenge, survival challenge. And additionally, you're going to assess your waterfowl trapping knowledge as well as your opportunity to put your archery skills to the test. So you might want to go to the QDMA website, look up that. Sounds like a fun time to be at down in Athens, Georgia this summer. Let's see. I've got a few minutes here. And they just keep coming. Gander Mountain is going to open their first South Carolina store in North Charleston. Now, Gander Mountain, wow, it was almost as big as Cabela's in the day. But they are coming to South Carolina. They are instead of being a publicly held company, they're a privately family held company. They went through some troubles back in the 90s, went into protection. The family that owned it bought all the stock back, and now they are out and doing well. And I mentioned the first day of summer. If you Google it, it's June 21st. It's going to be a hot one this year, I think. But this is the Farmer's Almanac, had these things. 10 ways to celebrate summer. I'll hit a couple of these. Light a bonfire. You know, we're going to have some fires around our house because we had all the pine trees taken down. Go fishing. Got to love to get out on the water. And, of course, in the Farmer's Almanac, they have consult our best days for fishing chart, which is funny. Plant a seed or a tree. You know, we planted a garden, something to always cook outside. Go camping. Listen to the birds. They're out. Let the light in. You know, we got long daylight. Read a book and watch the night sky. We went outside last night and tried to see the meteor shower, and I don't think it panned out too much. We didn't see anything, did we?
No, we didn't.
No. I had a friend that stayed up till 3 o'clock, and I think he saw a couple. So anyway, it's summertime. Get out there. In the series from 30 Things to Get Your Kids Involved in the Outdoors, one of these is plant a garden. You know, gardening is a great family activity. It teaches kids so many things, life cycles, pollination, nutrition, you know, just to name a few, whether it's a community garden plot, one in your backyard, it doesn't have to be much, a couple of tomato plants in the flower beds. We've got what? What all we plant?
We planted okra and green beans and tomatoes.
And we had cucumbers, squash, and zucchini, too. So, yeah, we've got a little garden going here. We'll have fun with that later on in the summer. But, you know, get outside. Get your kids out there. Give them something to do this summer. I got called down. I had a story here. It's put down the phone, parents. It could be affecting your kids. I got called down on that a couple of times by my wife on this trip. So it even applies to me. But it says it's not just your kids getting too much screen time these days. Parents are also guilty of spending too much time on their electronic devices. You know, they did a study of people in restaurants and all and how the kids started acting up because their parents whipped out their iPhones and started playing with them instead of talking. You know, when you get to the table, I'm working on it. You get to the table, you know, put down the device. Chuck Norris joke. Chuck Norris hit a ball over the center field wall in Yankee Stadium from his summer home in L.A. Here's the music. Get outside. Thank a veteran. It's Veterans Day, Memorial Day. Thank you, Taylor, for coming. We'll have you back on.
I enjoyed it.
Thank you, ma'am. Don't forget the camera. We'll see you next week. Thanks.